G'day, I'm Irk, and welcome to episode 17 of Irk to the Diary Room, part of Channel Irk at irktothediaryroom.com. This is a show where I talk about TV, entertainment, music, pop culture, and a lot more. And of course, I encourage your feedback. You can go to irktothediaryroom.com, check out the previous episodes, and see what I've spoken about in the past. Of course, I am here in Sydney, Australia, and so many of the things that I watch are only available via watching TV here in Australia, although you might be able to find it via alternative means. You might even be able to find it via the various networks and their catch-up services, although that does vary from region to region. So what are we going to talk about on today's episode? I'm going to talk about the newest update to an old TV series. I'm going to talk about a rather hot fire series, and who knows what else in this next half hour or so. We're also going to go into the depths of hell for another trucking series. Now, if you are a fan of Australian TV, and you lived in TV land in the 70s and the 80s, well, I was basically a child growing up then, you may be familiar with what was then the Channel 10 Grundy production of Prisoner. It went for almost 700 episodes. In some markets, it is known as Prisoner Cell Block H, and it was set in the fictional Wentworth Detention Centre in Melbourne, where it was basically a prison drama dealing with all of the issues in a women's jail in the 70s and the 80s. It launched many an acting career, and it was one of the groundbreaking series at the time, and it was actually one of the few quote-unquote adult content shows that I was allowed to watch as a child when I was growing up. I can remember being in primary school in about year 5 or year 6, and Prisoner was usually on because of the adult content. It was on later than I was allowed to stay up and watch because I was a child, and so either my mum or my auntie taped it for me. And then I remember one day after school on a Friday being able to watch the episode on VHS tape, and the VCR that we had, the very first VCR that we had, actually had a corded remote. And so I was watching episodes of Prisoner as a child. I didn't understand necessarily what was going on with the lesbianism, the sexism, the violence. Some of the violence was obvious, some of it was implied and not always shown. And also, I didn't understand, of course, as a child, a lot of the interpersonal relationships that were going on. But of course, as an adult, I do. And you can actually watch the season, watch the old episodes on, I think it's Arena on Foxtel. It used to run on the Channel 10 network, which at one stage, even during the run, was known as Channel Zero, when Channel 10 first started here in Australia on free-to-air TV. So with Prisoner, it was on for about 6 years, almost 700 episodes. I did see a couple of years ago the DVD pack of the whole collection of every single episode was available on DVD for well over $1,000, which is just amazing. But when you think about the amount of DVDs that are in there, it has a cult following not only here in Australia, but also mainly in the UK and also in the US for some people. Prisoner is also shown as Prisoner Cell Block H over in the UK. And even though some of the episodes are 20, 30 years old, people do watch them. Of course, the standards have improved a lot. The standards of acting, the standards of clothing, set designs and whatnot. Some of the sets were remarkably shaky when you throw a prisoner up against a wall, for instance, which wouldn't happen you know, the effect would be different in today's society. Over time, some people have been wondering if there was going to be some sort of reboot of the Prisoner franchise, so to speak, because that's what's often happening in TVs and movies. There's a push, there's in some ways a lack of originality when it comes down to thinking up new ideas, so we'll just relaunch old ideas and have them as new ideas for people who didn't see it the first time round, or indeed for people who did see it the first time round and want to see what happened and what it would be like in the current day. So indeed, that has happened, and actually tonight, as I'm recording this, Wednesday the 1st of May 2013, the premiere episode of what is being called Wentworth starts. Now, of course, the Wentworth Detention Centre in the Prisoner series was the fictional home of the prisoners and the prison officers. In the old series, they did go to several other fictional prisons, including Barnhurst, and I think the other one was called Blackmore. Occasionally, there were male prisoners, but usually not. Usually, it focused on the women prisoners and the visitors and the prison officers and that sort of thing. But I've noticed that in the previews that I've seen for the Wentworth series, they've gone ahead. They haven't tried to make it a carry-on from the old series, because, of course, with time and some of the actors were extremely old when the show was actually in production, many of the cast members have actually passed on. They haven't necessarily tried to recreate the story. Oh, this is what happened to, the freak 30 years later, for instance. They haven't tried to do that. They have tried to set it in a contemporary women's prison, and I'll be interested in, and I'll report back on how they've actually done that in future episodes. But what they have done, which is slightly annoying, to me at least, is that they've called many of the characters the exact same names that they have called the characters in the original show. For instance, there's a woman in the show called B. Smith. B. Smith was what they called one of the top dogs, which was the prisoner who was basically, well, as the name suggests, the top dog, the head kahuna of the prisoners. And they'd look out for the welfare of the women and that sort of stuff, and sometimes they'd be the heavy as well for people who needed heavy. But it's going to be interesting to see, and of course there are going to be comparisons between the 1970s and 80s B. Smith and 2013 B. Smith, because the women in question don't look anything alike. There are some people who have used names that have been used before. As I said, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the new series. One interesting thing about it is that it's being promoted as being on the Soho channel on Foxtel. There's no news yet if it's going to be on a free-to-air channel as well. It is actually a Foxtel production, so the likelihood of it getting on free-to-air TV is basically zero. It is, however, planned for a release in the UK later on in this year, so that will be interesting to follow. It's been promoted on the Soho channel, but it's also being promoted, and it's also on the Arena channel at exactly the same time. Now, I presume that is because Prisoner is currently on the Arena channel, and so they want fans of the original show to watch it on Arena. But they've been heavily promoting that it is on the Soho channel as well. So when When Wentworth, the new version, the 2013 reboot of Prisoner, is actually on tonight at 8:30 PM, I'll be at the place of my employment. And so I've set my Foxtel IQ, which is my DVR, to record the show, and I set it to record on Soho, because that's what all the promotion has been aimed at. All the promotion's been aimed at Soho. And Soho and Arena aren't usually channels that I usually watch. So I don't know how it's been promoted on those channels. But the interesting thing is, I set the DVR, the Foxtel IQ, to record Wentworth on Soho. So I thought, okay, no worries. It's set, it's series linked, so it's not just going to be one episode. It's series linked, and so we'll see how we go. And I'll report back at the end of the series to tell you how it was. Then the other night, I went to my Foxtel IQ, because every so often I like to see what's coming up, see what I have taped, and sometimes shows just disappear out of thin air and I have to re-add them, or I might want to find another show, or I found that a show that I've recorded is the same series that was before, so I've deleted it. And I've noticed that the DVR has set Wentworth to be recorded on two channels at once, both Arena and Soho. They're both on at the same time, and so it's recording both channels. With the Foxtel IQ that I have, you can record two programs at once, and you can watch another one live. If there's a clash, it will tell you, hey, there's a clash, you can only record two, which one do you want to delete? So I thought, well, there are no clashes at the moment, but I will delete one of the programs, because there's no use taping the same show on two different channels that's on at the exact same time. That's just stupid. Luckily for me, I've got a fair bit of free space on my IQ, so that's not necessarily a problem. But what if I didn't have much space left? So I deleted the program for Arena. I went back the next day, and it put the program back on Arena. So again, it set both channels. So I've deleted the Arena one again, and within a couple of hours, it really wants me to record Wentworth twice on the two channels. So I will have a look at the first episode and see what happens and let you know what's going to go on. Of course, there's a lot of interest from the old Prisoner fan base, and if you have a look on Facebook and you do a search for Prisoner Cell Block H or something like that, there's quite a few different fan groups and pages, etc., out there for fans. So that's Wentworth and Prisoner. And now I'll move on to another show, which is actually a show that started while I was in America. My mum Judy, she actually set the Foxtel IQ for me so it would record. And I thought that I would wait until the series ended before I watched it. But the season just seems to be keeping going on forever and ever. So I started watching it, and it's called Chicago Fire. I may have mentioned this before, but when it was being filmed and in Chicago, funnily enough, although part of it is filmed in a studio in California, which is always interesting, the local media saw a plane crash that the people of Chicago Fire had set up. But because the media didn't know what was going on, and they saw lots of fire trucks and everything around like that, they reported it as breaking news that a plane had crashed, like a light aircraft, like something like a Cessna, had crashed in Chicago. Firefighters were on the scene, etc., etc. Then they found out, while the story was being reported, and they had, I think it was one of the local traffic helicopters discovered it. And so they were hovering over the scene, watching what was going on. And then they did some research, and they actually found that it was being set up for Chicago Fire. The interesting thing about that was that the channel in question was not actually the channel that Chicago Fire was being filmed at, shown on. So it wasn't something that the channel had done for self-promotion or anything like that. The media obviously thought that they had a breaking story of a light plane crash in Chicago and reported it that way until they found out otherwise, which was, to say the least, a little bit embarrassing. So, Chicago Fire, what's it about? If you've seen shows like Emergency that I've spoken about before, I may have spoken about Third Watch, which was based in New York, a similar sort of premise to Chicago Fire. It's a typical firefighter show. You know, they go out and they put fires out and there's a fair bit of action. There's some paramedics thrown in there for good measure. And then, of course, because there's fire and there's ambulance or paramedics, you've got to throw in a bit of police action as well. Although the police aren't necessarily the focus of the show. Needless to say, there's a lot of professional firefighters out there who don't like the show. I have done some firefighting before, but not to the level that these sort of guys are. And it's always amazing to see these people who are acting as firefighters. And you have to remember that in most cases, they are actually actors. So it's hard to believe sometimes the things that they do, the things they get their stunt people to do, and it looks fairly realistic. Of course, there's a lot of drama elements, and there's a lot of, you know, the mundane stuff that you wouldn't necessarily see. But overall, it's a good series. Some of the actors in there, they do good roles, and they give you the idea that they are a real person and you do actually care about what happens to them and you want to see what happens to them in the next episode. And when things happen to them, you feel some emotion for them. Of course, there are some others who are just, you know, basically cardboard cutouts and you couldn't care less what happened to them. But here's an indication, for me at least, how addictive the season was. I watched 16 episodes of Chicago Fire, about 43 minutes each. So, about an hour including ads. And sometimes I'll skip through the ads and sometimes I won't, because sometimes the ads are a good way of finding out what's on other channels. I watched 16 episodes in 3 days, when I had some days off recently. And so that was a lot of Chicago Fire to watch in one hit. And the first world problem that I've got now is I'm up to date. And so from when I finished watching the last episode last Thursday, I now have to wait until, you know, tomorrow night as I'm recording this to find out what happened next. And that's not the way that I necessarily watch TV anymore. And there's a lot of people like me that now they just record what's going on, and they, you know, they keep a whole heap of shows updated, and then when the shows are finished, they'll go through and watch them, or they'll keep up a few episodes and then they'll watch them. Whereas for other people, some people are still content to watch an episode a week and then, or a day, and then when the next one comes up, then they'll watch it. So Chicago Fire, if you really like your fire and emergency type series, you'll like it. Of course, if you're a professional firefighter, you probably won't. You'll probably think that there's a hell of a lot of overkill and you might not like it. But yeah, I think that they've done really well for, you know, and I can imagine how much money it would have cost to set up all these fire effects, to film in a proper fire station in Chicago, and I presume with actual fire trucks that they've borrowed from the Chicago Fire Department. It's interesting, in the credits actually, they don't actually list or they don't actually show on the credits the cooperation that they would have got from the Chicago Fire Department, which is a bit disappointing. Of course, there's the usual sort of firefighting action and, you know, what goes on at the station while you're waiting for a call. And, you know, there's a lot of sex and interpersonal relationships into it as well, including at the fire station. And I know some firefighters probably wouldn't be happy about that either. A lot of these sort of shows tend to go down the sexual path. I was reading on the Internet Movie Database, IMDb, a couple of people had put in some warnings about the sort of language used and the content used. And one guy who I nicknamed Ned Flanders wrote that there was a lot of profanity. Like, damn, it was listed as a profanity. Humping was listed as another profanity. Or there was lots of bras and lacy underwear. And so, as I wrote on Twitter, oh, lacy underwear. Oh, can't have that. So, cotton undies are okay. Cotton panties are okay. Then, are they, Mr. Ned Flanders? So, again, this is one of these shows that hasn't been picked up, as far as I'm aware, on free-to-air TV here in Australia. It is on Fox 8 here in Australia on Foxtel. And I'm just trying to think of the American TV network. I think it's NBC that are showing it over in America. It may very well make its way onto free-to-air TV eventually. I'm not sure. I know my good friend Albert is watching it via alternative means. And he wishes it was free to air because he doesn't have Foxtel. But I'll have to ask him if he actually started watching it on my recommendation. That would be interesting. So, Chicago Fire, well worth the watch. And in news just in over the last week or so, it has been announced that a second season will be commissioned, which is good. But it's also interesting that they have commissioned a second season, because the reception hasn't always been positive. I think it's rating well. And of course, as I mentioned before, it would be an expensive thing to produce. Keeping on a emergency services rescue sort of theme, our last show that we'll talk about on this episode is called Highway Through Hell, which again I'm watching on Foxtel. Not sure if this will make it to free-to-air TV either. The interesting thing is that there's an American version, which is called Highway Through Hell USA, and the Canadian version, which I saw first, which is called Highway to Hell. The Canadian version is being shown here on A&E. The season has just finished here on the A&E channel on Foxtel, and the American version is being shown on Nat Geo, which is an interesting choice. The basic premise of the two shows are the same. They deal with the towing industry in alpine regions, both in the Sierra Nevada mountains in Nevada and also some Canadian mountain ranges. The Canadian season is set up around the one trucking company, the one towing company, the Jamie Davis Towing Company. And it's interesting because I actually know a podcaster and a paramedic called Jamie Davis. So there's a bit of a difference between the Jamie Davis that I know and the Jamie Davis on TV, but it's always interesting. When you first look at the Canadian season, you think that you're about to watch a firefighter show, because all the trucks are red, there's a couple of guys posing in like firefighting gear and a helmet and that sort of stuff, and so you think it's, and you know, there's like rescue written on the side of the truck, so you think you're dealing with a firefighting show. But you find out that that's actually not the case. It is a case of being a towing series in rather harsh conditions. if you've seen ice pilots or ice road truckers, you'll know the sort of conditions that they're dealing with in both versions. The American version has a bit of a competitive aspect where there's a series of towing companies that they feature in the same area. So not only do they have to deal with the weather and the damage and the carnage and all of that sort of stuff, they also have to deal with which company gets the call and that sort of thing. And, you know, some people just go cruising around looking for jobs and that sort of thing, trying to steal tows off other companies. Sometimes the companies actually have to cooperate because of the workload. And I know one of the companies just lost their contract with the with a road service provider, so they have to deal with, you know, the possibility of not being in business because that was 90% of their work. So the way that the shows are done are pretty much similar between the US and the Canadian versions. But as I said, the American version is more competitive based, whereas the Canadian version is just focused on one company. It's an interesting watch. It might not be a must watch, but if you're into the whole snow and alpine sort of thing and what happens when things go wrong, if you think of ice road truckers but all the towing stuff that they didn't necessarily show, that's what you'll get. Anywho, hope you've enjoyed the show. We spoke about prisoner cell block H in some markets, also Wentworth, Chicago Fire, and Highway Through Hell. I'm Eric, thank you for listening, and I hope to see you soon. Until next time, thanks for watching. Thanks for watching, and good night, Interweb.